We're in Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're in the part where he's praying. And Nehemiah's prayer can be broken up into three parts. And the first part, all that he's doing is confessing sin. And that's what we need to do tonight. We need to go before the Lord and ask him, is there something you see in my life that's not right? Something that I need to get clean. And Nehemiah did this. And as you know, as we're in the book of Nehemiah, there are a lot of ruins. He's been told about the ruins of Jerusalem and how the walls are burned down and such a terrible sights going on back in Jerusalem, where was God's city and God's people, but because of sin, there was total ruin and waste, which would happen in anybody's life that's saved. And so he begins to pray. We saw that at the end of verse 4, that he prayed before the God of heaven, and there's a comma there. And then you have his prayer enumerated here in the Bible for us. You can break it up into three parts. All three parts, we would say, have this little phrase, I beseech thee. You see that in verse 5, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven. In verse number 8, he says, remember, I beseech thee. And then in verse number 11, O Lord, I beseech thee. And that's the way I want to break down Nehemiah's prayer to God. And I remind you, there was no work that Nehemiah would have done or could have done or occurred until first Nehemiah spent some time in prayer about this thing. It was prayer that led to the building of the wall. It was prayer that led to the revival in the remnant. It was prayer that put Nehemiah on the front lines of somewhere he would have never been. It was Nehemiah's heart first, and then it was prayer second that got him involved. I don't know about you, but I'm overwhelmed with how sorry a prayer I am. I remember seeing my granddaddy pray and say, man, I wish I could pray like that. But you know, it takes a long time to develop a close relationship with somebody, doesn't it? To where he'll listen, to where our hearts will make a difference on his heart, and our words will come up into his ears. And evidently, I don't think this is the first time Nehemiah ever prayed. I'd say this, don't wait until something's ruined before you learn how to pray. And if we've ever had a time we ought to be praying, it's today with the blessing of God and yet what's right around the corner for so many and some people in the world. And so I just take the first part of this prayer, verse 5, 6, and 7, if you'd look at it with me. The Bible says, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him, and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. God will bless His Word. Father, we pray that You would help us to have the prayer of Nehemiah, not just in words, but in heart. Lord, I'm sure among all of us tonight, there are things that we need to approach You about and make confession and acknowledge our sin and transgression. And we're so thankful, Lord, there's not a sin that's too big for you to handle. And so we come to you tonight, Lord, before this holy time of remembering you and your death for us. And we pray you'd cleanse our hearts. And may you start the work through confession, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The prayer of confession, verse number 5, the first thing I want to tell you about his prayer of confession is that though he knows the great sin that's occurred, he's not in despair about it. He's not overwhelmed with it. You know, people can get so overwhelmed with their sin that they think there's no hope for it. But there's always hope. And there's always grace and mercy. It doesn't matter how deep or how long or how wide or how serious the sin is. He says in verse number 5, he says, I beseech thee, O Lord, of God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant, watch it, and mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Mercy for them that love and observe his commandments. He's praying as he begins his prayer. He enumerates and describes and reminds himself of the greatness of the mercy of God. And if it wasn't for the greatness of the mercy of God, he could have no right to approach God in this fashion. Because Israel had denied God and had worshipped false gods and had even killed their children in the fire and had hated God's prophets and turned their back on the Word of God. So it sounds like America, doesn't it? And so they suffered the judgment of God. And everything is ruined. And all the walls are down. And everything's a waste. But Nehemiah knows that he can pray because no matter how bad the situation gets, he knows that God is a great God of mercy. I'm glad God's got more mercy than you've got sin. It says he's keeping that mercy. He's got plenty of it. He's got more grace than we have sin. And we do need to acknowledge that great mercy of the Lord. And don't ever get to the place where we have failed God so much and we think, well, what's the use of going to Him again? Because He's a God of mercy. He wants you to be forgiven more than you want to be forgiven. He wants to cleanse our hearts more than we want to be clean. And we can approach Him based upon His mercy. Calvary speaks of the mercy of God. The cross speaks, that blood flowing down from that cross is crying out saying, hey, whatever your sin is, come to me. I can cleanse it. I can take care of it. Hold your finger there, Nehemiah. I want to look at Psalm 130. Psalm 130. This is a great prayer of confession. I think we need to pray some of these prayers. You say, how do I pray? Well, there's plenty of prayers in the Bible to learn. And make them internal in your heart. Not just, you know, we're not just saying Catholic words. But man, I mean this, God. I just don't know how to put it into words. So I see these are really good words and I'm going to make them mine as I approach you about my heart and my life. Psalm 130. I don't know who wrote this psalm. I have no idea. But I know that this guy knew he needed God. He said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. You ever got so deep down? Maybe not just deep in sin, but deep in whatever. Deep in sorrow, deep in desperation. I don't know. He said, God, I'm in the depths and I'm calling out to you. I'm so far deep. He said, verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? He knows as he's crying out to God from the depths that God has seen everything he's done and heard everything he said and seen every thought that's been in his head. But he's saying, God, if you mark iniquities, we're over. We're all just in a bundle of trouble. Thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Watch him in verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee. That thou mayest be feared, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. By the way, don't get in a hurry when you confess your sins. You probably got more to confess than you know. You know, a lot of times we got this one big thing we go to God about when there's a whole bunch of other little things in there we need to get rid of too. Sometimes you need to wait on the Lord in confession. I mean, we're not Catholics. We don't go in the little closet and shut the door and say, Father, forgive me for I've sinned, I've done this, and say, okay, say three Hail Marys and leave. We don't do that. We go to God and we talk to Him about our sins. And sometimes I think we're impatient. It might take a little longer than 30 seconds to get clean. Be careful about that. And look, I've been at the altar a lot of times in my life. But you know what the temptation is? Here's somebody at the altar. Well, they got up and left. I need to leave. Don't ever do that. Maybe that's why everybody's leaving so fast. Stay there till you're clean. Amen. And if you're not clean, just stay there and let Him clean you. Patiently, he said, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In His word do I hope. He's got confidence that God can cleanse him. Look at verse 6. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Look at verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord. Watch it. For with the Lord there is mercy. That's why He's calling. That's why He's waiting. That's why He has hope. That's why He's making confession, because He knows God has mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. There's nothing in our lives He can't cleanse and take care of. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Because God is a God of mercy. Secondly, go back to our text in Nehemiah chapter 1. His prayer of confession includes the greatness of God's mercy. And then the prayer of his confession is a continual and complete confession. Look at verse 6. He said, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. Nehemiah, this prayer is not just a quick minute prayer. He's praying this day and night. Well, it'd be good if our confession was like that. I would say this, if you confess something in the morning, probably most likely, by the time you go to bed, you've got something else to confess. I don't think we are so puritanical that we go through a day and we don't get spotted and stained with some kind of iniquity. There's just too much wrong with us. You say, what do? We make a continual confession. He said day and night. Not just a Sunday confession. Not just a Wednesday confession. He's doing this day and night. He's doing it continually. You say, man, what a chore. But it's a wonderful thing to be clean. It's a wonderful thing to be washed. It's a wonderful thing to have a pure conscience, because you know everything's right between you and God. This is a continual confession. It's a complete confession. He says, which I pray before thee now night and day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, watch it, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. It's a complete confession. He's not just confessing his sin, he's confessing everybody else's sins. If you ain't got any sins to confess, come down here and confess somebody else's. I don't know what kind of person Nehemiah is, but he's confessing the children of Israel's sins. You know, Daniel did the same thing. Well, just let's read a couple good prayers of confession. We want to get in good practice tonight, don't we? Look at Daniel chapter, is it chapter 9? And also Ezra chapter 9. Great prayers of confession. You don't just have to go to the great Psalm 51 where David messed up. And that. There's plenty of other prayers of confession in this Bible. Great prayer of Daniel. He's confessing everybody's sins. You say, well, he didn't do them. Well, he said, we've done them. You know, a lot of times we're responsible for a whole lot more things than we think we are. I think God probably would appreciate it if somebody get on their face before the Lord and confess all the sins of America that we're doing in God's face. They're not confessing them and apologizing to God. Do you know, church, you can't repair the ruins that sin has made until we get rid of the sins that made them? Did you catch that? Everybody wants the ruins fixed. Everybody wants the mess taken away. Everybody wants the walls up. Everybody wants the safety for the remnant. Everybody wants everything great in Jerusalem. Well, the thing that tore down the walls, the thing that ruined the city, the thing that destroyed them was sin. And until somebody goes back to first base and deals with the sin, you're not going to change anything that's happened. Daniel chapter 9, what a prayer. This is a holy man. This is such a godly man. And look how he's praying. You always know a guy that's not right with God or individual not right with God because they don't ever confess nothing. Like Brother Farley told me when I was in my 20s. He said some people need to go smoke a cigar about this long so they have something to confess to God. And I understood about like most of you just understood it. I didn't even really understand what he was saying. We've got so many sins in our lives that we don't consider sins. That we've not made confession in a month of Sundays about. Well, I think Daniel was a holy man, but boy, what confession he makes. He says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, "And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Verse 4, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession." Do you see that? "And said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy." That's exactly what Nehemiah said. I wonder if he got that from Daniel. You know, Daniel was his predecessor. "Keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments." Look at verse 5. "We have sinned." I think that's exactly what Nehemiah is saying. "We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened to thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. Faces is at this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to all the Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries, whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord," he didn't say to them belongeth confusion of faith. He said to us. "To our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants the prophets." In the verse 11, "because we have sinned against Him." Verse 13, "as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth." In the verse number 14, "we obeyed not his voice." I think Daniel's done a pretty good job, but he's making confession. In the verse 15, "we have sinned, we have done wickedly." Verse 16 in the verse, "because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem, thy people have become a reproach to all that are about us." And he says in verse 19, he says, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken." What a prayer of confession. I don't think I'll take the time to read it, but Ezra did the same thing in chapter 9. He confesses the sin of Israel. He fell on his knees. He spread out his hands toward heaven. And he says, "Lord God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, for our iniquities are increased over our head." Our iniquities. You want God to do something in your life? Well, then have some continual, complete confession. And we've got a good time to do that tonight because God tells us to do that before we take of this supper. Nehemiah says, both I and my father's house have sinned. You know that's the truth. You know we're all guilty. I tell you what, I believe that in most churches across the world in this country, they make God sick because they're full of people that come to church and have no intention of getting right with God. But just go through the motions. I don't know about you, but man, I want to be right with God. I want to be clean. And God is such a God of mercy. In His great mercy, I can bring continual and complete confession. And then lastly, he says in Nehemiah chapter 1, and he says in verse number 6, at the end of the verse, he confessed the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. You know, when you confess your sins, you need to understand that your sins are against God. Now, we wrong one another, but to be honest, you boil our confession down, verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly against thee. Lord, I've sinned against you. Is that not what Joseph said when he was tempted to commit that act of fornication with Potiphar's wife? And he said, no. He said to that wicked woman, he said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He's not consumed about sinning against Pharaoh or sinning against that woman or sinning against his own body. He's consumed with thinking about what this is against God if I do this. David said in Psalm 51, man, he sinned against a bunch of people. I'd say when you take a man's wife and then kill him, you got some apologizing to do. But you know what he said in his prayer? Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. God, it's you I want to get right with. Samuel. Samuel said in 1 Samuel 12:23, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Now, I would think if he didn't pray for them, the sin would be against them. Because he didn't pray for them like he should pray for them. He said, no, if I don't pray for you, I'm sinning against God. I'm sinning against the Lord. I don't need to be the Holy Spirit in your life and tell you all the things you need to examine in your heart. But I want to ask you to do this. Don't just examine bad things we do. We should have got over that definition of sin after the third grade. Sin is not just all the bad things we do, which we've got plenty of those to confess. But sin is the failure to do the good things that we need to do. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, how many good things have I not done that God wants me to do that are sin in my life? There was Samuel. He said, man, prayerlessness is a sin. It's a sin against God. You ever wept over that? You ever wept and confessed that, God, I'm so sorry. I'm such a wicked sinner. I just don't pray like I ought to pray. I've spent all week talking to everybody but you. You ever confess that one? When we make confession, we need to understand that our sin is against God. Nehemiah said, we have dealt very corruptly against thee. And then sin, our sins are against the words of God. He said, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments. He said, well, our sins are, we've done things against the Bible. You gave us a whole Bible, and you gave us all this Bible, and we didn't do what you said. Guys, listen to this. You know what? Let me get it all, but that last one. Those are the words that they didn't do. You see how many more you got? You know what sin is? Sinning against that book right there. It doesn't matter what it says. It doesn't matter if it says, be ye kind one to another, and you didn't do that. What a big Bible we have. And our confession, we need to make confession because there are things we've not done just against God, we've done against this book. And then he said at the last little phrase there, verse number 7, it's our sin. We need to make confession because of our sins against God and our sins against the words of God. But at the end of verse 7, he says, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. You see, sin is really rebellion against the commands of God. Sin is a rebellious spirit saying, God, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. That's what sin is. And boy, that could be a million things. That just in your spirit, in your heart, you know God wants you to do, and He's told you to do that, but you just will not be obedient. Confession. Confession is something we all need to take part in. Amen. And this is what God said in His Word. He said, all right, you're supposed to observe this table right here. You're supposed to partake of this, but I don't just want you to come and partake of it. He says, what I want you to do is let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, listen. Not examine your neighbor. Not even examine your kids. Or your husband. Or your wife. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.